Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack finding Black Star in
this is out of Seltzer's reserve.
Most
Deaf and Talib Kweli. That's who Black Star is, Jack.
I got a music confession.
Yes.
Talib Kweli?
Oh, we lost you again.
No, you had it on the first time.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Never mind.
No, come on.
I like to do the show blind. Well, he's a Cincinnati artist.
Oh, Talib Kweli is? Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Oh, I thought he was from New York.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought he was.
It was his partner, High Tech. Remember him?
Yes.
They had the group?
Yep.
Yeah, he's from Cincinnati.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Great. Did you know Cincinnati airports in Kentucky?
I did.
All right.
Hey, listen, it's a good day to have Cincinnati history.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems
because the Eagles Bengals got moved to 1 o'clock from 4:30.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock now.
Eagles who, Jack?
Bengals.
There you go.
Bengals.
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 Dude, you guys are crazy.
Bengals, right?
It's Bengals.
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 Bang.
Yes. Bing.
Bengals.
No.
Bengals. Yes.
Bengals.
Bengals.
You guys.
What was the last week?
Grow up with pronunciations. Yeah.
Yeah. Jaguars.
Jaguars is perfectly fine. I say crown. Suck it up.
That
Bengals.
Song,
come on.
The song you guys play coming back where it's like, we bring the boom.
Yes.
Yes.
3 straight weeks I thought that was some old 90s rap song.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. No, you know,
I looked it up because I liked it and I was like, oh, this song's pretty good. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was is this the Rizzler? Like, is this the Costco guys?
Wait, did you mean like actually good or like kind of a parody song?
So to be clear, I've only heard the like, we bring the boom.
Yeah.
Like, and that part is no lie. Pretty
you know, he
good.
Liked it like he was going
to download it. Yeah, like I was going to listen to it. Right. And then I realized it was like the little kid and his dad. And I was like, yeah, I am old.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. This is good.
That's what we do. We bring the boom.
I'm actually surprised that you eat.
Bring the boom.
You don't think if.
I'm surprised as a hip hop guy
as you are
that you actually went with this.
But I think this actually validates that it is good. Like, I don't know. If you told me this was Ice Cube from like the 90s, I'd be like,
oh my God.
Dude, this does sound like Ice Cube.
Just the chorus. Ice not Cube. Anything else.
Turning over in his grave. He's not even dead yet.
Yeah.
Ice Cube.
I think it's good. If you put his voice over that, I think everyone would be like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah. Be like pushing weight era.
And apparently they have a remix to it.
Oh, they do. They have a
remix to it.
I need the remix to the remix too. Just keep it going.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you expect the Phillies will run it back next season or do you believe there will be significant change in the offseason? 54% saying they will run it back. I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun next year. Really looking forward to it.
Good preview with the Eagles.
Yes. Yeah. And can you imagine if the Sixers are just like, we're bringing everybody back. We were actually better than we expected. If Joel was just not hurt,
exactly.
He would have been fine.
Which is funny because I don't want to make Jack mad.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Look at the restraint.
I just wonder if Phillies fans feel differently about mocking the Sixers now. Like, it's not that easy to win in the postseason, is it?
No, they're just mad at everybody.
Yeah. Everyone's mad at everybody.
Yeah. Good.
So... Nick Sirianni said after the game on Sunday that he had made a call on offense and then he made an offhand comment that he actually did it on defense too and it didn't work. So here was Vic Fangio being asked about that very response that Nick had.
Inconsequential, probably not a good word to have attached there.
And again, there is Nick trying to, I understand Nick sticking up for the players. Nick shouldn't. You said this earlier. Nick shouldn't say he made calls he didn't make.
Yeah.
And I know he's trying to protect Vic. Vic Fangio doesn't need. Vic Fangio's well-respected defensive coordinator does not need Nick Sirianni.
Same for Kellen Moore.
Yes.
I think this is Nick's way of taking accountability so that, just trying to protect his guys. It's just not worth it.
No, because it creates this muddiness. It just makes everybody mad at him for things that he didn't even do wrong. He's making it even worse.
Well, and the other thing.
Yeah, Coach Fangio up there.
I know, yeah.
He don't know. He throw the guy under the bus. He doesn't know. You know, it's like, because now it's something one could take that as, well, Shouldn't Coach Fangio know what to do in these situations?
Right.
Does he really need your advice on what to do there? He's been a coach longer than you have.
Well, and the other thing—
And by the way, it's defense.
Right, right. But the other thing Fangio said was he was asked, is Nick more or less involved than any other head coach you've ever worked with? And he said it was basically the same. But the difference is what Nick does in terms of play calling is such a hot button issue right now that I don't think Nick getting on the headset and going, hey, Vic, you know, I've noticed that they like to check it down in third and long, so just keep an eye out for that, right?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's no, like that's,
no,
that's
but
good.
But that's also not what Nick said he did.
Well, he said he made a play. Yeah, true.
It's not what Nick said he did. You yeah. know, it Nick said something else. And I think he has good intentions there, but he is so lost yeah. and handling this poorly, which I don't blame him for because I would handle it poorly as well. Now, like you said, he signed up for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the that sort of thing is just like,
it's true.
It just makes things worse.
Here's a question. Knowing what the Eagles know now about how this has gone, just from a public perspective, regardless of the job that they might think Nick is doing, do you think they regret this?
Regret bringing him back?
Right. Not that they think less of Nick, but just the kind of ugliness that has happened with, you know, well, he called this, but he said that, and actually he doesn't do this, but he does
do
this.
That's a good question. That's a good question, because I'm not...
I wonder if they anticipated this.
Right. I think they hoped, I would believe, that he would be able to handle this better and navigate this better, but that's assuming everything goes well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, what happens when we start to probe into different areas? What they didn't expect, I don't believe, they anticipated how much people would lock in on what is his responsibilities as the coach. That's really what has put him in sort of a,
right.
A quandary, because part of his ego, which we all have as men, he's one of 32. You think he doesn't have somewhat of an ego
right.
over there as a coach? And he has to, he doesn't have to listen to it, but he hears how much he basically is just there. He's a yes man. He doesn't have any say in who his coordinators are. Nobody wants him touching the office. Like, you literally have a fan base, not collectively, but seemingly don't want him involved with the team. So part of him is constantly trying to prove where his value is to the team and validate his position of being a head coach. And I'm still not sure if a couple games there, particularly that Falcons game and that Saints game where he was going for it on fourth down, that it reared his head where he was trying to put his imprint mm-hmm. on the game.
Well, I think the issue, too, about the
instead of just taking points.
About the nitty-gritty of what he does is the public doesn't want him involved in anything.
Right.
So that's why it matters. Like, oh, you called a defensive play? Like, now he's hurting the defense. Oh, you called an offensive play? That's why Jalen's not throwing it over the middle, right?
Right.
So I think if there was public belief in Nick, there wouldn't be as much focus on every little thing he does because people would believe that if yeah. he's involved, he's helping.
I agree.
So you asked if you thought the Eagles regretted this.
Yes.
And I have no information. I'm just gut looking at it. I bet of the two guys, one guy is thinking we made a mistake and the other guy is thinking I have cover. And and the thing that Jeff Lurie is the owner of this team, and whether he thinks Nick Sirianni is a good coach or not, there is no doubt in my mind, again, I'm just guessing, that he was embarrassed by Sunday.
For sure.
By Nick's.
Yeah.
Howie, what this does is it gives Howie cover for personnel decisions that he made that were mistakes, and he gives him someone to fire. And it unfortunately leads me to believe, and you said that, you know, Ike, you brought up a good point, that you said you didn't think the organization knew that it would be as bad as it is. That is organizational malpractice, because I could see it. Mm-hmm. I think all of us could say, well, how is this going to work? Unless they're really, really good. How right. is this going to work? But what it does is it gives the general manager cover for mistakes that he made by being able to fire the head coach. And I don't know that Howie cares whether...
Well, Howie's yelled at fans too. So.
Yeah, what has gone... Because he thinks...
You forgot about that.
Yes.
He did that in Houston, yeah.
Well, and I think sometimes general managers get into the mode of, they think, well, like they're like when they're dealing with fans, they're dealing with children. They're going to eat whatever we feed them. They're going to do whatever we tell them. Look at how happy they are after the draft. Look
There's
at how
a 30,000 person wait list for season tickets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and he can also think to himself, all of them said we shouldn't spend money on a running back. Then we did it and everybody was happy. They're going to eat up whatever we feed them.
Howie season.
And really, at the end of the day, there have been mistakes in drafting, mistakes in free agent signings, mistakes in contracts handed out. And the person who's going to get blamed is somebody who is not responsible for any of those
making any of those decisions.
None of them.
Well, and
zero.
I think it's a great point. The other thing I would keep an eye on is, so the Eagles got flexed from 4:30 to 1, that Bengals game or whatever.
Yeah.
Shout out to the NFL.
Yes, thank you, NFL.
One thing I would watch is if they then get flexed out of the Jaguars game. Jacksonville.
Ooh, boy.
if they start getting flexed out of these primetime spots and it's ugly every week, I mean, Jeffrey is going to notice those things in terms of needing to make a change, right? Like, if it's ugly at the stadium at 1 o'clock in a game that was supposed to be primetime between two contenders, like, that stuff matters, I think, to Jeffrey.
To be fair, those games could get flexed because of the opponents.
Yes, the Jacksonville one surely could.
Well, the Bengals only had 2 wins, I believe.
Yeah. The Bengals won. I still think there's some sexiness to the
agree,
Bengals.
But they found a better matchup with Washington against Chicago.
That's part of it for sure. Yeah. But my time covering the team, I can't remember many times Eagles have been flexed out.
Can you, by the way, think
I'm
about
sure it's
this.
Happened, but I can't think of many.
Not
you
many,
know?
Yeah.
Think about the fact that MVP candidate Joe Burrow flexed out. MVP candidate last year, Jalen Hurts flexed out. Flexed in for 2 guys. Two rookies who are scoring points. I don't know how real the Bears thing is, but the Washington thing is definitely real. Mm-hmm. You know, that is that I think that is also a reality.
I think the real lesson there is if you make it to the Super Bowl with a quarterback and you lose, you probably just got to sell high right there.
Yes, get rid of that quarterback.
Get rid of everybody right there.
Yeah, like
there.
It's so hard to get back, you know, and it's like it's ugly and
Is there anything that the Eagles could do to get you to buy back into Nick Sirianni? 215-592-9494. We'll get to the phones right after Ike tells you about Carr.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How about that? Now, did you know there's never been a better time to save on a brand new Acura than right this second at Elite Acura during the Elite Fall for All event? Now, they're rolling into fall with unbelievable savings on their selection of over 175 new Acuras. Right now, you can lease a new 2024 Acura ZDX with the A-Spec package for $319 a month. But that's not all. They're taking it to the next level with the $4,000 Acura loyalty appreciation offer on top of it. Plus, you get a chance to lease a new 2024 Acura RDX with super handling all-wheel drive for just $429 a month. I'm telling you, you won't want to miss these offers and more during the Elite Fall for All event going on now at Elite Acura. Make sure you visit them today on Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Tell them your boy Ike sent you. Shop their entire inventory online anytime at EliteAcura.com. Call them 567-908-0528 for all for details.
215-592-9494. Ken and Cinnamon, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you, Ken?
What's up, Ken?
What up, Ken?
I do not, I don't believe that there's really anybody that can be swayed to buy into Nick. Not so much because of Nick, but because there's just so many people that are more interested in being right than they are being interested in whether or not, you know, we've got ourselves a head football coach here who's special. I have thought for a while now that we've got a special head football coach here in this city. And
agreed.
But this to me, there's so much here. This goes back to the original sin of the stupidest question ever asked in a press conference to a head coach of an NFL football team. What do you do around here? Like, I don't know who the reporter was. It was clearly a clickbait question. That reporter should probably be doing traffic at this point. point.
Nah, I disagree with that.
Yeah,
I
bet you, Elliot.
No, well, it wasn't me. Yeah.
I thought it was a good question.
I thought it was considering what everyone wanted to know. I think that was a good question.
If you have to ask an NFL head coach what you do, you probably shouldn't be an NFL head coach.
Well, that's the. I think that was the takeaway from everybody. Unfortunately, yes.
So Ike, you said something earlier about the players. We asked the players. So there's more to that. You have players that are on this radio station every week. You have Jason Kelce that's on this radio station every week. Yep. Brandon Graham's on this radio station every week. I mean, week in and week out, we hear these guys saying, we love Nick, we support Nick, we believe in Nick. We hear them telling us about how he uses meetings in a way that they've never seen meetings used before in their entire career as players. But there are people that are just, including on-air personalities, who are wedded to their belief that there's no possible way that the players could believe in him, that they could respect him, that they could take him seriously. So you get the answer from the players, and then it's like they didn't even ask the question. It's just like, okay, thanks. Oh, by the way, we all know that none of them take it seriously and none of them respect
him. Well, okay, two things, Ken. First of all, and the second one's a question. The first one's just a comment. Just because, and again, I don't think I've been very critical of Nick Sirianni at all this year, to be honest. I mostly defend him when people blame him for things that I don't think are his responsibility. That said, I don't think that the player saying they like the coach means that he's a good coach. It means that they like him. And we said this when we were talking about Rob Thompson last week. You can be a coach or a manager who the players respect and like and do not perform well for. So that's the first thing. The fact that they like Nick and the fact that they are supportive of him means that he's a good guy, means that he has good relationships.
Buzz Eskin over here.
It's called a big dose of D.
Oh, stop it. He has good relationships in the building. It doesn't make him a good head coach.
Yeah.
So my second question for you, Ken, is you said that you believe he is a special head coach. What does he do that's special?
Not in the meetings with him.
No, hold on, Ken. You can't say, I think he's special, and then when I ask you why, you say, well, you're not in the building, so you can't tell. So
No. I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
Because it's a really easy answer, but I'm qualifying it with the fact that I am just like everybody else who calls this radio station. I only know what I see. I am not in the meetings. I do not know what's going on behind those closed doors, and neither does anybody else. So it's a very simple question. 37 and 18. Okay, he's got a higher winning percentage than Kyle Shanahan. He's got a higher winning percentage than Sean McVay. I don't care. I don't know how he does it. I don't pretend to be able to say, hey, I could do the same thing. All I know is that the guy wins an awful lot of football games.
I think that's a fair point, by Ken.
Really? Okay, so
I do.
So let me ask you.
Well, it is, because that's what he gets judged on.
He's been in the playoffs every year. I mean,
okay, so
he did win the game on
Sunday. They're 4-10 in their last 14 games. So that goes on Nick too then, right?
Yes.
Yes.
The whole thing goes on Nick.
Okay, we'll let you respond. When the team collapses in a way last year, that is, I would say, one of the two worst collapses in Eagles history, the other one being the co-tight 7-2 to 7-9. So they collapse, they come out this year, and they look, I would say, at best, uninspiring this year. How is that not on the coach, right? That is part of it. He did get them to the Super Bowl the first year, but then they did collapse last year. They got embarrassed in the playoffs, and then this year has been like a circus, kind of, and they haven't looked that good. So I don't think you can just – Mike McCarthy's got a great record as head coach. Nobody thinks he's special.
I think he's a good –
I didn't say that he didn't bear responsibility. I never absolved him for the bad. But the flip side of that is that the notion around here, and you cannot pretend that this is not true, the notion around here that all 37 of those wins are in spite of Nick Sirianni and all 18 of those losses are because of Nick Sirianni. And you cannot deny that there is a school out there that is firmly planted with both feet there, that every game they win is in spite of Nick Sirianni.
I agree with you.
I,
I agree
I'm
with you.
I'm not an NFL head coach.
I agree.
I don't know what goes into winning football games. I just know that he wins a lot more football games than a lot of head coaches out there. And to me, it's all about the results. If I'm proven wrong this year, look, we had a legit, wasn't me, but there was a legitimate conversation on this station before they kicked off in Brazil where a caller called it and it turned into a legitimate, like, straight-faced conversation. I'm worried that if the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year, they're going to lose Kellen Moore.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think the Eagles will have a plan to move on from Nick Sirianni to keep Kellen Moore if they win the Super Bowl? Like, I don't know how you have that conversation with a straight face on the radio.
I agree with that point. But what I have trouble grasping onto is your assertion that he is a special head coach. I don't think he's handling this year in a special way.
Special is a subjective term. Right?
Oh, come on.
In my estimation, I have believed since the end of 2021, I have believed that we might really have something here. And 2022 kind of confirmed to me, man, they picked this guy off the trash heap and nobody wanted him, and they found a winner. This guy really knows what he's doing. Now, hey, I could be proven wrong, but, you know, when I'm listening to Eric Mangini on Hot Take 1, I mean Fox Sports 1, who's 33-47 as a head coach in the NFL, telling people what he would do different than Nick Sirianni, when he's getting paid by 32 teams not to coach their football team.
Well, that's true, too. But, Ken, I also thank you for the call, Ken. I also think there are plenty of backup quarterbacks who are able to assess. Dan Orlovsky is great at assessing whether quarterbacks are good. Mm-hmm. Chase Daniel is great at assessing whether quarterbacks are good. So just because Eric Mangini wasn't a good head coach, I don't think that his... You know, we have Mike Lombardi on, who definitely has a sordid record as general manager. Mm-hmm. I think that just the fact that you were a head coach in the NFL or were a quarterback or were a general manager gives you a special perspective on it.
Yeah, look, as a former backup quarterback myself, obviously, right? But no, I mean, it's funny. We debate Nick and Jalen so much. Like, what are their strengths, weaknesses? Whose fault's this? Whatever. They kind of, in some ways, the best argument for both of them is their record. Like point blank,
well, it is. It's always
right,
the argument
saying.
For him.
Like Jalen certainly makes plays that are impressive at times, but it's not like you watch Jalen and go, "That guy is a top five quarterback." You don't watch Nick coach and go, "This is the advantage they give him." But they consistently outperform expectations
until they don't
for sure. Yeah. And I think, just to wrap it up with all this Nick stuff, like I think it is fair to criticize Nick absolutely for that he does not seem to have a solution to how to get this team to play better, right? Because it has been almost a full year of this team not looking great. But he has been a great head coach overall when you look at what he has accomplished during his time here. I think both those things can be true.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But I also think they may have put him in a situation that he can't win.
He's in a tough spot.
Yeah, and
man.
I don't blame – Ken wanted to blame – everybody's talk around it. Just like I don't blame that reporter for asking the question, what are your responsibilities?
That was a fair question.
They have put him in a situation where we question that.
Yeah.
And I think that might be difficult for him to recover from.
Sunday was the first time for me where I'm like, you're being a distraction right now. You're taken away from talking about your football team and what they did on the field with your antics. We can't have that Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
That Nick Sirianni is detrimental because now you're forcing your players to focus on something they don't have any control over.
Because even though he was getting ripped after the Saints win and the Bucks and everything, that wasn't his fault. Right.
Right.
This is now his fault.
This is like, something he did.
He brought this on himself.
It's just like when Jalen was given the iffy answers about Nick and we said, you're causing something you don't need to cause. Nick did the same thing.
Yep.
All right. We appreciate you, Elliot.
Fun time.
Great job.
You and I didn't yell at each other.
I know.
Are you excited for Insider of the Year rankings tomorrow, 4:30?
Well, I never listen to it. So, you know.
Yeah.
Don't even know what's going on.
Do you guys do that still? When is it?
So Jordan Mailata joins us next. We'll get a chance to ask Jordan how that hamstring is. I have to tell you, it didn't look great after the game.
Good point. This is a good interview. I didn't think about that aspect
of it. So we will talk to Jordan Mailata next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.